independence and its religious meaning. Thank you.
Good morning. I am very happy and honored to be here and to speak in front of you. Chazal teaches us that before one begins his speak, he should thank and praise the Achsania, the one who hosts him or the one who invited him. And in that case, I would like to praise the Koilel of the YU Torah Mitzion of Chicago, which I am sure is serving as a beacon of Torah here in Chicago and spreading the light of Torah throughout the city. What I wanted to speak about today is about, as the title says, independence and its religious meaning. Meaning, I wanted to speak about not only the independence of the state of Israel as part or not as a part of a redemption process, which is a question to itself, but as a question that should guide us. Many times when we have to approach questions or issues, we can ask ourselves, what does that mean in a theoretic general meaning? And we can also ask ourselves, what is our duty in the situation that is before us? And more or less, that's a question that I would like to ask. What is in independence for us as observant, as Orthodox Jews, as people that see the Torah as the guideline of our life? What does independence mean for us? So we all know that there are certain mitzvot that apply only in Eretz Israel. And as the Mishnah in Source Aleph says, Kol mitzvah she'i tluya ba'aretz, any mitzvah that depends, every commandment that is depend on the land, Eina noeget ela ba'aretz. So if it depends on the land, of course, it applies only inside Eretz Israel. Ve'she'ina tluya ba'aretz, says the Mishnah, commands that do not depend on the land, then we can logically think, deduce that it applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz. But of course, the big question is, what is mitzvah tluya ba'aretz? The Mishnah does not explain itself. We could have thought alone that if something is dependent on the land in Eretz Israel, it can be fulfilled. It applies only in Eretz Israel. That's easy to say. But what are the mitzvot that can only be done in Eretz Israel? I believe that if I would ask most of the people, then the common answer would be Shmita, Trumot u'Masrot, and all the mitzvot that has to do with the fruits or the ground, the land itself. So the land in Eretz Israel has a certain holiness in it, Kedushat Eretz Israel, and this Kedusha, this holiness, has implications that cause us, apply mitzvot on us. So we have Shemitah, we have Tumot u'Masrot, and many other mitzvot. And that's the regular answer to the question, what are the mitzvot that depend on the land? But we are very smart because we are, I think right now, we are 1,500 years, at least, after the Gemara was written. But at least the Gemara thought that there is a question to ask here. What are the mitzvot that depend on the land? Mein mitzvot atluyot ba'aretz. In Source Bet, the Gemara asks, mai tluya umay she'ein atluya? And what is the answer? The Gemara offers two possibilities how to explain what is mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. The first option is, ilei matluya, we may say that mitzvah tluya, a mitzvah that depended on the land, is a mitzvah dechtiv be'bi'a. That when the Torah describes the mitzvah, it says that it would apply only when there would be bi'a, meaning entrance into Eretz Israel. There are many of the mitzvot, if we'll go through our chumashim, through the Torah, we'll see that many of the mitzvot did not apply in the desert, while Bnei Israel were in the Midbar. They only applied when they entered Eretz Israel. And the Gemara says, maybe that's what we shall call mitzvah tluya ba'aretz. So mitzvot that dependent upon entering Eretz Israel, these are the mitzvot that would apply only in Eretz Israel. The Gemara cannot accept this idea. Says the Gemara, v'arei tefillin ufeter chamor. Dechtiv ba'en biya. We know that tefillin is a mitzvah that applied only when Israel entered Eretz Israel. In the time in the desert, there was no mitzvah of tefillin. Maybe they had tefillin, maybe not. The mitzvah only applied, the Torah says, bevoachem la'aretz. When you'll enter Eretz Israel, then the mitzvah of tefillin would begin. So the same applies to mitzvah of Peter Chamor, the firstborn donkey. And we all know that nowadays, of course, no one would consider that there is no mitzvah of tefillin outside of Eretz Israel. So the Gemara rejects this way to explain what is mitzvot, what is the term of mitzvot atluyot ba'aretz means. It cannot be that it means mitzvot that applied only upon entering Eretz Israel. So we have to explain differently, and we explain it in the way that we all know. The Gemara will say, Amar Rav Yehuda hachi ke'amar, so Rav Yehuda said that's the way we should explain כל מצווה שהיא חובת הגוף. There are mitzvot that are the duty of the body. They are duty on us. And they would apply both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laaretz. While mitzvot that are חובת הקרקע, the duty of the land, would apply only on the land. So we see here in the Gemara two possible ways to explain mitzvot התלויות בארץ. And the Gemara says very clearly that it's we cannot say that the mitzvot that are chovat haguf, that are the duty of our duty, we cannot say that they would apply only in Eretz Israel, while the mitzvot of chovat hakarka, the mitzvot that are duty on the land, would apply only in Eretz Israel. So one level of mitzvot that can be done only in Eretz Israel are the mitzvot of חובת הקרקע, the duty of the land. If you skip for a second to source state, that's on the last page, you will see that there are mitzvot that were commanded only upon entering Eretz Israel, but they apply only in Eretz Israel. Rabbi Yossi אומר, שלוש מצוות נצטוו ישראל בכניסתן לארץ. There are three mitzvot that in Israel were commanded upon entering Eretz Israel. And that is, להעמיד להם מלך, to appoint a king. Of course, in חוץ לארץ, you cannot appoint a king. Just cannot. להחריד זרו של המלך, maybe you can go to a war from the borders of Eretz Israel outside in order to wipe off a מלך. But when you are in Chutz La'aretz, you are under the rule of a foreign nation. Of course, you cannot just open a war with a third nation, with Amalek. And livnot lehem bet ha-bechira, to build a temple, of course, bet ha-mikdash, of course, it's not chovat ha-karka. It's not something that with the ground, with the land, it's something that is built upon the land, but it can be built only in Eretz Israel. That's its place. So there are mitzvot that are not exactly chovat hakarka. They are only commanded upon entering Eretz Israel, but they do apply only in Eretz Israel. So what I want to hint right now is that maybe a part of the mitzvot that we all know that apply only in Eretz Israel, these are mitzvot that are chovat hakarka, I want to give not right now, maybe only a notion, that maybe there is another level of mitzvot that can apply only in Eretz Israel, although they are not chovat hakarka, the duty of the land, in the strict or maybe in the regular meaning of the term. So after we've made a skip, let's return back to source Gimel, and that's, we only continue to learn the Gemara, the sugya of the Gemara, as it appears there in Kiddushim. And the Gemara wants to give us an example to a mitzvah that applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz. And what is the example? Abed te'abdun et kol ha'mekomot asher avdusham ha'goyim. That's a part of a pasuk. There is a mitzvah to destroy, to annihilate, to wipe off all the worship places that the idol worshippers worship them. Says the Gemara, this is a mitzvah, it's not the duty of the land, right? It's our duty. Ma avodat kochavim, says the Gemara, miyuchedet sheichovat haguf, it's something that is eyeing on us. So it applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz. And the same applies, kol sheichovat haguf, everything that is a duty, our duty, applies ben ba'aretz uven b'chutz la'aretz, both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz. So, we can end the shiur now, take our sticks and torches, right, and go to the streets, and I believe that in Toronto I found, I didn't look here, but I believe that you can find some places of idol worshippers. Or no, I don't know. You have consulted the local Orthodox authority before you are doing that. So, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that that's a mitzvah that applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz because it's chovat haguf, it's a duty of the body, and it's that's the follow. This conclusion is following what we just said, that we have to differentiate between chovat haguf and chovat hakarka. Cut and clear. Not so cut and clear. Let's now go a step back and look at the Torah, at the source of this mitzvah to destroy, to wipe off, to annihilate the houses of idol worshippers. So in Dvarim Yud Bet, Bet Gimel, the Torah say, Ele achukim v'amishpatim asher tishmerun lasot. These are the laws that you should keep, where? Ba'aretz asher natan Hashem Elokei avotecha lecha lerishta kol hayamim asher atem chayim al ha'adamah. So it seems that there is a certain place, a certain land, that this mitzvah that we are going to read apply in. And that is, Ba'aretz asher natan Hashem Elokei avotecha lecha. The land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, meaning Eretz Israel. And then the Torah says, Abed te'abdun et kol ha'mekomot asher avdusham ha'goyim. You should destroy all the places where the idol worshippers worshipped their idols, al ha'arim ha'ramim, on the top of the mountains, ve'al ha'geva'ot, on the hills, ve'tachat kol etz ra'anan, under the fresh trees. ונתעצתם את מזבחותם ושיברתם את מצבותם, destroy, break, tear down, and so on. And then the Torah concludes with, ויבדתם את שמם, from where? מן המקום ההוא. From that place. What is that place? On what place are we speaking about? Of course, on Eretz Israel. It's clear from the Psukim. So how the Gemara can take this mitzvah, that in the Torah it's so clear that it applies only in Eretz Israel, and our personal experience also is that it applies only in Eretz Israel. Even there, not always, it's not always so easy, but it's very hard here. How can we take this mitzvah and give that as the example for mitzvot that applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz? It seems also almost an explicit contradiction. That's the question of the Ramban there in the Sugya in Kiddushin. So the Ramban in source Hey asks the same question. V'tmiyali ve'avodah zara lavhach aktiva shelo leovda. That's not the place where it says that we should not worship avodah zara. Not to worship idols, of course, not to service idols. Of course, that's chovat haguf, and that applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz. That's very easy. But here we speak about destroying, and that's only in Eretz Israel. So there are various different approaches how to answer the question, and I wouldn't go through all of that now, because we are not focusing right now on the mitzvah to destroy idol worshippers or idol worshipping places. I would like only to suggest one answer that was given by one of our Rishonim, and that is the Rambam. And the Rambam thought after a way to reconcile these two different sources. One source, the Torah, saying that the mitzvah applies only in Eretz Israel, says it very clearly, And the other source is the Gemara in Kiddushin, giving this mitzvah as an example to mitzvot that applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laretz. How can we reconcile these two different sources? And the Rambam has a very interesting idea. The Rambam in source Vav says, Mitzvat Asei, it's a positive commandment, Le'abed avodat kochavim u'meshamshea, to destroy the idols and everything that is done to serve it, v'chol ha'ne'esa bishvila, שנאמר, הבית תאבדון את כל המקומות, ונאמר, אם כה תעשו, as the psukim says. And then the Rambam adds, ובארץ ישראל, when we are in ארץ ישראל, מצווה לרדוף אחריה עד שנאבד אותה מכל ארצינו. It's a mitzvah to chase the עבודה זרה, till we'll wipe it off completely from the land. אבל בחוץ לארץ, אין לנו מצווים לרדוף אחריה. In חוץ לארץ, we are not commanded to chase after it. We can sit in our places. אלא כל מקום שנכבוש אותו, every place that we conquer, Brooklyn. There, נאבד כל עבודת כוכבים שבו. There we should destroy any idol that would be there. So I would like now to ask you, how do you see this difference? How the Rambam would explain, if you will ask him, How you came, from where you it came to you, this distinction between Eretz Israel and Chutz Laretz. In Eretz Israel we should chase after it, and in Chutz Laretz we shouldn't. How you know it? I can see why he came to that, because there is a contradiction. So he tried to find a way to reconcile the sources, but why should be that difference? Why to chase in Eretz Israel and not to chase in Chutz Laretz?
Because we live next door. So, but in Eretz Israel, where it's our land, when we take possession, we have a right to say who can be there and who can't be there.
Excellent. That's the answer that Harav Shach has given in his book, Avi Ezri. He says that there's the explanation of the Gra, so Chivant Ledat Gdolim, as we say. Maybe other answers, I would like to address that in a second, but maybe there is another answer, this that I thought about.
Safety.
So, but that's more or less the same thing. We do not dare to do it in Chutz Laretz.
Our obligation is not to live here. Our obligation is to live in Eretz Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't have to be here. We have to be there. So, that's where our focus is, should be, not over here.
Perhaps the harm of Avodah Zarah is less outside of Eretz Israel.
Okay.
It's less, and so the obligation is less.
Why the damage is less?
Because of the special sanctity of Eretz Israel, but there you have to be more.
The holiness of the land, right? The holiness of the land, Haaretz Taki, the land would vomit, right, of the Avodah Zarah. So we have two different answers. One answer is that the obligation, our obligation, to destroy Avodah Zarah is the same in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laretz. Our obligation is to destroy any Avodah Zarah that is under our hand. Birshuteinu. But there is a difference between Eretz Israel and Chutz Laretz. Eretz Israel is under our hand, while Chutz Laretz is not. There we have to respect the law of the land. A different answer is that from the beginning, and we can combine the two answers that were given now, that our obligation from the beginning in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laretz is different. We care less, maybe, we can say, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe care less, or the Kedusha, the holiness of the land, is lesser in Chutz Laretz. And that is why there is a difference. So, from this Rambam, we can see, we can begin to build this notion that I spoke about before. And that is that even mitzvot that we see as chovat aguf, as the duty of the body, and that's why they apply both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laretz. The mitzvah to destroy Avodah Zarah applies both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laretz. That's the example of the Gemara to mitzvot that apply both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz Laretz. But still, even in these mitzvot, when we come into Eretz Israel, into the land, there is an additional flaw, we may say, that is being added to the mitzvah. So it may be because only just because we can, and that's a small addition. It may be a big addition, a larger addition, because the meaning of the mitzvah is more meaningful when it's being done in Eretz Israel. Because our obligation, because our wish, our desire, our will to build in Eretz Israel a society that is clean of Avodah Zarah. In Chutz La'aretz, as individuals, so we sit here, if I have Avodah Zarah under my hand, I'll have to destroy it, but I am not in charge to build a different system of society. It's not what I am doing here. I am a guest of a different system of society. While in Eretz Israel, we try to build a society anew, from the beginning. Yet, still, it's not that easy. Even when you are in Eretz Israel, you are part of a bigger world. Only the Taliban nowadays can destroy Avodah Zarah without looking at other states. But, as I said, we can see this mitzvah, the mitzvah that was brought as an example in the Gemara, to mitzvot that apply both in Eretz Israel and in Chutz La'aretz, and yet in this mitzvah itself, there is an additional level of existence when we come into Eretz Israel. I would like to have another mitzvah as an example. That's not a mitzvah, that's an issur, a very hot topic in the last years. And that is the issur, or the prohibition, or not prohibition, to sell apartments, to sell houses to non-Jews. In Chutz La'aretz and in Eretz Israel. The Rambam has a long discussion regarding that. And he concludes with the following, in Source Zayin. אין כל הדברים האלו אמורים, אלא בזמן שגלו ישראל לבין העובדי כוכבים. So all that I have said, and I am giving certain leniency, that you can sell houses, you can sell apartments to non-Jews, in certain cases, that's only when we are in חוץ לארץ. גלו ישראל לבין העובדי כוכבים. Or, even if we are in ארץ ישראל, שיד עובדי כוכבים תקיפה על ישראל. But the hands of the goyim, of the non-Jews, or the idol worshippers, the hands are superior upon us. And then we have one set of rules. אבל בזמן שיד ישראל תקיפה עליהם, when our hand is superior, says the Rambam, אסור לנו להניח עובדי כוכבים בינינו. We are not allowed to have any idol worshipper, and we leave right now for a side, what is the definition of idol worshipper? That's of course a question that should be discussed. But we are not allowed to let even one of them, now pay attention, not only not to sell them an apartment or in house, even liyoshev yeshivat arai, as a temporary worker, or over mimakom lemakom beschora, he's flying, there is an air flight that goes above Eretz Israel, from Syria to Egypt. We are not allowed to have an idol worshipper on the flight, on the airplane. Lo yavor be'arzeinu. He should not even pass. Ad sheyekabel alav sheva mitzvot shenitzavu bnei Noach. He should, before he goes up to the plane, he should sign on a letter that he accepts upon himself, sheva mitzvot bnei Noach. That's Ramba. So, of course, this halacha is we need to give it the respect that we should give it, demand that we'll give it a whole shiur about this halacha. But right now, I'm only using it as another window to this world that I'm trying to build, and that is that sometimes the rules are changing. Not only when we are in Eretz Israel as a physical place, because the land is holier, also there may be a change in the rules because Yad Israel Takifa. We have our hands superior. Now, Rambam does not speak here about the difference between things that we can do and things we cannot do. We have a famous rule. Honest Rachman Apatre. If I cannot do something, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't judge me for not doing that. That's easy to understand. That's a famous rule, and the Rambam does not have to state it each time he says an halacha. So why the Rambam here finds it appropriate that he should say that only this halacha applies only if the hand, if our hand is superior. Because here, when our hand is not superior, it's not that we are exempted because we cannot do it. The halacha does not apply when we are not in the process of building our own society. Even when we are in Eretz Israel, being in Eretz Israel is not enough. When you're in Eretz Israel, you can have your Truma to Masrot, you can have maybe even your Shemitah, that's a question, but at least Truma to Masrot you can have. Mideoraita. Even without independent. But all the halacha that has to do with building a society in order for them to apply, you must have your independence. You must have your sovereignty. You must rule yourself. In Source Chet, you will find another different mitzvot that demonstrate the same principle. Hashmatat Ksafim, Shiluach Havadim. So, to give up the loans in every 7th year, or to let the slaves go away, to get them free. Says the Gemara, אף על פי שנצטבו עליהם לאחר כניסתן לארץ, נוהגת בין בארץ, בין בחוץ על הארץ. Says the Gemara, this is a mitzvah that applies both in Eretz Israel and in חוץ לארץ. Now the Gemara asks, why do you need to say that? It's clear, right? It's chovat haguf. It's the duty of the body. It has nothing to do if you owe me money and I let it go in the 7th year, it has nothing to do with the land. So why we should ever even think that it applies only in Eretz Israel? Says the Gemara, לא נצרח אלא לחדתניה. בזמן שאתה משמת קרקע, אתה משמת כספים. בזמן שאי אתה משמת קרקע, אי אתה משמת כספים. The mitzvah of שמיטת הלוואה, the mitzvah to let the loans go, at the 7th year, at every 7th year, applies only when we also have the rule of שמיטת קרקע. Now you ask me why? What is the connection? But it's very, very simple. When we build, and the Torah builds, an economic system, we cannot have it bit by bit and piece by piece. You have it all, or sometimes you'd have nothing. Or maybe you'll have, as we'll see when we'll continue, maybe you'll have what we call a zecher, remnant. But sometimes there can be an economic system that is just, that is right. It's the right thing to do. But if you take only one thing out of it, and you try to reconcile, to apply it in a different economical system, it would become unright and unjust. It happens many times. You must have the whole law in order for it to be right. That's what we say, צדקו משפטיך יחדיו. The Torah, of course, every halacha is the word of God of itself, but there is a part of it that only applies when we can fulfill the whole Torah together. There is a certain amount of just that we will see only then. And that is what the halachot, the mitzvot, atluyot ba'aretz. So there are mitzvot atluyot ba'aretz, as we said, there are mitzvot that depend on the land, meaning that there is no way, there is no option, there is no possibility to have them outside of Eretz Israel. It's in Yeshivish we call it, there is no heichitimtzi, meaning there is no practical way to fulfill them outside of Eretz Israel. But there are many halachot that may be fulfilled out of Eretz Israel, as destroying Avodah Zarah, as many other halachot. But outside of Eretz Israel, they lack something. Something is missing. Maybe we can do them. Maybe they have a meaning, of course. But we can understand them in the full term of meaning only when we'll do them in Eretz Israel as part of a whole observant society. If we'll continue to source Yud and Yud Aleph, then we may see, maybe, in the words of Ramban, his very famous words, we may see why is that there is a difference, such a difference between Eretz Israel and Chutz La'aretz, even regarding all the other mitzvot. The Torah says, "Al titam'u bechol ele." You should not defile yourself with all of these aveirot. What aveirot do we speak about? Arayot. Forbidden relations. In all of these averot, the goyim defiled themselves. The goyim that sat in Eretz Israel before us. Vatitama haaretz, the land was defiled. Vaefkod avona alea, vatakea haaretz et yoshvea. And the land vomited is goyim that sat before us. The Ramban has a very clear question that I think that each one of us that read this pasuk has. Why the Torah has to emphasize that we shouldn't go against the Isur of Arayot in Eretz Israel because the goyim that sat there before us, they had it and then they were taken from there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Isur of Arayot, of course, is Chovat HaGuf. And of course it applies both in Eretz Israel, and in Chutz La'aretz. So why the Torah has to emphasize the Isur of Arayot in Eretz Israel? That's the question of Ramban. V'hine Arayot Chovat HaGuf ve'inan tluyot ba'aretz. The Isur of Arayot depends on the body. It's the duty of the body. It's our duty. It's a personal duty. And not something that has to do with the land. So why to emphasize Eretz Israel? Why Eretz Israel has any connection at all to Isur Arayot? Umin ha'inyan hazeh, says Ramban, amru b'sifri, af al pi shani magle etchem min ha'aretz lechutz al ha'aretz, eyu metzuyanin b'mitzvot, shekshetachzeru lo yu alechem kechadashim. Uferšu bahem, כדי שלא יהיו חדשים עלינו כשנחזור לארץ, כי עיקר כל המצוות ליושבים בארץ השם. So, the Ramban, what the Ramban is saying here, and I will right now will only say again what he is saying. I think that it speaks to itself. The Ramban says, the Torah emphasizes Yisurei Arayot in Eretz Israel because the mitzvot, now the Ramban lived most of his life outside of Eretz Israel. That's the thing you should know. And we should also know that he was no less strict or machmir in mitzvot than any one of us. Although that's what he thought. That the ikara mitzvot, the main of the mitzvah, was given for those who sit in Eretz Israel. So what I am going to say right now is not in any way coming to degrade kiyum mitzvot in chutz la'aretz. In any way. But what the Ramban does want to tell us, without degrading the kiyum of mitzvot in Eretz Israel, is there is an upgrade of the mitzvot. Without degrading the mitzvot outside of Eretz Israel, there is an upgrade to the mitzvot in Eretz Israel. The mitzvot were given, says Ramban, to those who sit in Eretz Israel. What the Ramban means is, of course, not that there is no, as I said, there is no meaning to mitzvot outside of Eretz Israel. Of course there is. I would believe that what he means to say is what we just said. That there are, maybe to all of the mitzvot, we can say that there are two levels. There is one level that any one of us fulfill mitzvot as an individual. And all of the mitzvot are very important in this level. But when we have a whole society, and not only a community in Chutz La'aretz, but a society that can set its rules to itself, that sets the rules of the land, the law of the land, then all the mitzvot, even mitzvot Arayot, that of course exist also in Chutz La'aretz, but they exist as the moral principles that guide any one of us. But in Eretz Israel, there are moral principles that guide the society. And that's a whole other story, a whole different story. A whole new level of Kiyum Torah that we cannot experience in Eretz Israel. In the last few months that I spent in Toronto, I had the pleasure to give different shiurim around the city. And many of these shiurim, in light of what I just said, many of the shiurim I am trying to give this notion that the Torah has another level that it speaks in. So I have a shiur in Ilchot Melachim, in one place. Ilchot Melachim, it's in the Rambam. The Rambam lived, again, most of his life in Egypt. I don't think that in order to learn this Torah, or in order to understand what I am saying, then you must live in Eretz Israel. But Ilchot Melachim is a very good example to halachot that were learned throughout the history. Not to the extent that they are learned now, but they were learned. But only now we understand that when the Torah says, Lo yarbelo susim, the king cannot have too many horses, it's not only a story. So if the horse, if the king cannot have too many horses, can we have too many tanks? What is too many tanks? That's a question that we have to ask. Now we understand it. That's a question that was very hard to understand 2,000 years ago. How to balance the budget of security against education? That's a question that we have to ask. I have many other different shiurim, of course, that's only one example. But what I wanted to say, when we celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut, then of course we can and should think and must think about what it says about the Geula process that we are in or aren't in. I want to give us another maybe angle about the story of independence in Eretz Israel, and that's the angle of what does it say to us as observant, as people who want to go in the light of Torah. So if there is time to questions, or if not, so please.
From a political point of view today, contemporary, now in the 21st century, if we follow the rules about getting rid of or not having a Avodah Zarah in Eretz Israel, isn't that fraught with modern political implications, which would imply we're supposed to get rid of all the churches and all the mosques and everything that aren't ours? I mean, it seems like that's a heavy political question, aside from just a halakhic question.
Of course there are. And of course, part of the question, as I said, is what is Yad Israel Takifa? What does that mean, that our hand superior? So can we say that our hand nowadays is superior? That's a great question to be asked. Rav Herzog thought that we cannot say that. In his book, Chuka Israel, a law to the land of Israel, he thought that because we have our independence out of the hand of the UN, then in a way we are not totally independent. And other thought the same. But as I said, any one of the mitzvot that I spoke about deserves a shiur to itself. I only wanted to bring it as different examples to what the independence can give us in the terms of keeping the Torah.
Yeah, I guess a follow-up, trying to explore what the threshold for independence is. So I suppose this isn't the first time in which there has been a self-governing polity, in Jewish polity in Israel, but yet dependent in many ways on external political forces. You know, the entire Second Temple period was an idea, a project, was under the superpowership of the Persian power, and there were other superpowers at various times, it was shadowed as well. So during that period, the Second Temple period, when Cyrus says, go build the temple, his empire is the dominant empire. Would that have been considered independent? I mean, it's a good way to kind of judge our
currency. I'll answer you with the words of Rambam. When the Rambam asks, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? Why do you celebrate Chanukah? And he explains the whole story. And he ends up with saying, V'chazra malchut leYisrael yeter al 200 shana. And kingship returned to the land of Israel, to the kids of Israel, the sons of Israel, for more than 200 years. The more than 200 years after the Hashmonaim includes Hordus, includes times that weren't easy for Torah observance Jews. And still, Rambam says that's part of what we celebrate. This independence, bitter as it was, is part of what we celebrate in Chanukah. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to thank you so much. We're going to thank